That's elaborate. Thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, nationally syndicated, then around the globe on American Forces Radio. It's our pleasure to welcome back to the show once again Nancy Armour, the veteran sports columnist working for USA Today. And we're talking about the Super Bowl because we now are officially in Super Bowl week. And Nancy, welcome back to the show. And I'll just start with this as kind of a it's kind of a cop out, but I feel this way. No matter how much I break down film, quote unquote, look at matchups and such, if you bet against Patrick Mahomes, you usually lose. So does it get that simplistic sometimes?
Well, first of all, hello, Rick. It's nice to talk with you again. It's hard to argue against that, just given what the last couple of years have looked like. But it has been so much fun to watch Saquon run this year, and no one's really been able to stop him. He's had a couple games that haven't been great, but I feel like Philly hit their groove in the playoffs, I don't know. I mean, nobody wins forever, so there's got to be some team. Why not Saquon and the Eagles?
Well, it sounds like you're maybe leaning on Philadelphia there. The Chiefs, though, when you look at their run defense, they're still, I think, they're top 10. I mean, they're no slouch, but believe me, I think most of the country would love to see Saquon go crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a number of reasons. I think there is some Chiefs fatigue, just similar to what we saw with the Patriots in most of the 2010s. But also, too, Saquon's a great story. The Chiefs have been living dangerously all year, and yes, they seem to, when they get in the playoffs, they find another groove. But there just is something to me about them this season that hasn't been quite the same. Now, is it, once they get to the Super Bowl, is that going to be different because they've been there, done that? I do think it's interesting that, so much of this Eagles team is, played in this very game 2 years ago. They know how this works. It's not like, if the Commanders had won last week, this would have been new to all of them. This isn't for the Eagles. So I think, is that overrated as an advantage? I don't know, but I feel better about a team having been here before than somebody who this is all a new experience going up against the Chiefs.
No doubt. Now, the other thing is, and it's kind of the elephant in the room that people say, oh, the Chiefs get all the calls. And, even in the AFC title game, we saw Josh Allen get a first down. At least the judge on the far side said he did, and by a half yard. And then he came back and said no, he didn't. Even on the last play when Kincaid drops the pass, they threw a flag, but no, they picked it up because he ended up dropping it. We do know that the Swiftie Corps has increased Chiefs games as much as 15 million extra viewers, so there's revenue in there. So I don't think anybody's flat out on the take, but do you think that maybe, if it's 50-50, just lean Kansas City for these refs? I don't know. What do you think?
I think that's pretty much overblown. Was I one of those people who thought the Josh Allen not getting that first down on fourth and one was egregious? Absolutely. But I really don't think that the refs are in it for the Chiefs. There's just far too many moving parts to a football game. And also, too, there's so much money to be made for the league that they couldn't afford to be messing with the integrity of the game, as Roger Goodell likes to say often. I think do winning teams, do marquee players get the benefit of the doubt on certain calls if they're close? Absolutely. We see that in all sports. But, really the way to stop this talk and to, prove that there is not a fix by the refs, beat the Chiefs. I mean, that's all you have to do. And anything else is really just, to me, is excuse making.
No doubt. But then again, on a, I won't say the outfit, but a rival national website, they have the top 10 stories of the Super Bowl, and three are Taylor Swift, which is just astounding. But then again, there lays a lot of the revenue. Now, speaking of revenue, we know that this is the only event where people look forward to, at least some, look forward to commercials, which to me is an accomplishment in itself, and thereby up to $8 million being spent on 30 seconds. And in fact, we've seen this over the last few years. They just can't wait. They'll leak these commercials and they will run before the Super Bowl. But I know that you guys at USA Today have that ad meter. How is it all working out? Because you've been doing that for decades.
We've been doing it for 37 years, believe it or not. And the way that it works is we have the commercials, and you're right. You know, people are rolling them out even before the game, which is wild. I mean, that used to be the thing that you would wait to, you wouldn't get clues about anything until you actually saw the game. But now people are releasing them, and you can see them on the page, which we have at admeter.usatoday.com. And so you can go and you can watch the commercials, and then you can vote for them. And we will announce on Monday morning which commercial was the favorite from voters, from viewers. Voting opens on Wednesday. So, you know, if you want to go watch the commercials now, you certainly can. But voting opens Wednesday, and it goes until 1 a.m. Eastern after the Super Bowl. And to me, it's always fun because, you know, I'm always curious of, like, what people like and what people don't. I think I have disagreed with the ad meter winner the last two seasons. But I also am a sucker for ads with, like, you know, animals and things like that. So don't necessarily trust my judgment.
Well, I mean, that is Madison Avenue Gold. You put a dog in something and you've already won, right?
Right, exactly. Or the Clydesdale? Come on. I mean, if you just say Clydesdales, you've got me.
And from what I hear, they're coming back. I mean, that's the rumor, right?
That is the rumor. I am hoping that is a rumor that is true. I'm hoping.
All right. So, and I'll just throw this at you because I think we're in the same generation. We used to have the Super Bowl a week after the conference championships, and now we have 3 weeks added on to the season because we have an extra regular season week, we have a bye week, and now we have a fortnight before the Super Bowl. The only good thing about it is that it allows these teams to heal up a little bit. But if you were in charge, if you were the commish, would you go back to 1 week after the championship game, or do you think we're so already too ingrained in this?
Back even further once the 18th game is added, which, as we all know, it's happening. It's just a matter of time. I was not a fan initially of the break between the conference championships and the Super Bowl, but I think, you know, having seen it, the game is so much more physical than it's ever been before. You know, you added a game, the 17th game. So, you know, I think it's actually a good thing. You know, you get guys back who maybe they didn't play the last couple of weeks of the season. Maybe they missed the playoffs. You know, I think it's beneficial to having the best game, to have that week of a cushion to give guys, you know, a chance to rest. And also too, I mean, you can get to dig into your bag of tricks a little too. You know, you know your opponent, you've got an extra week to game plan for him. So I like I said, I was not in favor of it initially, but I have come around and I am now very much a proponent of the week between the conference championships and the Super Bowl.
I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball here. You know, the Super Bowl, the unsung hero, the Jack Squirek, the Timmy Smith, the Super Bowl 16, there was a guy in the Niners named Ricky Gervais, spelled the same as the English comedian. He gets Archie Griffin's fumble on the kickoff. I mean, there's just guys who we'll never hear from before or after. Is there anyone that we're not looking at right now outside of, you know, the big names that might produce something?
You know, I think if we had different teams, you might be able to say that, but I think the fact that these are the two, you know, when we began the season, I think these were the two teams that everybody figured was going to be in the Super Bowl, except for those people, including one of my coworkers, who thought the Jets had a chance to make it, which, no way. But I think the fact that you know these teams so well and they've been here, I don't think that there are a whole lot of rocks left unturned with either of these teams.
All right. I know you are also looking at the off season, and for the Raiders, Pete Carroll comes in. He'll be 74. They just hired Chip Kelly yesterday, of course, an experienced OC. They just don't have a quarterback right now. And in that division, if you think about with Peyton and Nix, and of course Manning and Reed and Harbaugh and Herbert, there's some pretty good quarterback head coach combos. I guess my question is, do my Raiders have a chance in hell to go 500 next year?
Oh, I would like to tell you yes, but no. you know, sorry.
I agree with you.
I mean, you know, this is, as we all know, this is a quarterback-driven league. And, you know, if you were in a different conference, maybe, but the fact that, as you pointed out, I mean, it's Kansas City, it's, and, you know, I think Denver has finally gotten themselves a quarterback. Herbert, like, yeah, it's going to be tough, and especially if I am assuming that they're going to have to draft a quarterback, because if you look at free agency right now, I don't think there's any, you know, there is no Peyton Manning. I mean, there's no Peyton Manning going to the Broncos, like, that is out there right now. You know, even if you would get Aaron Rodgers, this is a diminished Aaron Rodgers. Sam Darnold, can he do the same thing that he did in Minnesota this year? Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, I think it's going to be rough sledding for you guys again next season.
Last question, since I am in San Francisco. Do you pay Brock Purdy $40, $50 million, or do you say, I'll franchise you and figure it out next year?
You know, I guess the question is, if you franchise them, are you, you know, what's the goal of that? You know, is there somebody else that you're looking at thinking, okay, we can get him in a year? Because, you know, it's so hard for a rookie quarterback to win, number one. So if that's what you're banking on, but is there somebody out there that you're thinking, okay, we can get them in free agency? And I don't necessarily know that that's out there. So, you know, and I don't know the ins and outs of their cap situation, but if you are going to do it eventually, why don't you just go ahead and do it now? Because what you're doing that way is you are moving forward his contract. So if you do decide 5 years from now or 4 years from now that he's not working out, you are further down the road of you know, how much hurt that's going to be for you against the cap.
I would imagine by that time, guys will be making $100 million a year, and I only say that slightly tongue-in-cheek, so you make a good point. USA Today sports columnist Nancy Armour, always great getting your insights. Thanks for your time, and let's catch up soon.
All right. Always a pleasure to talk with you.